Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Jen, whose gun was it? How did it get there? Under what circumstances? Was it discharged? Was stole just an innocent bystander? But this call came in at 4:37 in the morning, Cody.
Yeah, not a lot of good things happen after midnight. At least my parents told me. And if you're up until 4:30 or so, I can't imagine it probably gets much better.
Yeah. Let's turn to the good news, and that is Patrick Kennedy. This on the heels of Iowa getting another transfer in Renteria yesterday, I guess it was, or the day before. Tell us about Patrick Kennedy.
There's a lot to like about Patrick Kennedy. He's a young guy. He's only going to be a junior in high school, starting in August, September, whenever they start school in Minnesota. Really, really talented. He's a two-time state champ and actually a four-time state medalist. And that's going to sound weird for people who aren't familiar with Minnesota high school wrestling, because when you're in middle school, you can compete on the varsity squads. And so when he was in seventh grade, he actually took sixth at the state tournament at, I believe, 132 pounds. And then as an eighth grader, he took third at 145 pounds. That's wrestling other high schoolers as old as seniors. And then he was able to come away with state titles these last 2 years. Really, really good on the national scene. Multi-time freestyle All-American. That's one of the Olympic disciplines. Flow wrestling rates him as the number 8 pound-for-pound wrestler in the 2020 class. I believe the open mat rates him at number 5 pound-for-pound. He finished the season as a consensus top 5 wrestler at 182 pounds this past season. He's good. He's very, very good, kind of the centerpiece of that 2020 class with which Iowa can build around. So this is a big get. Iowa's always kind of the in-house leader to get this guy. Now that they kind of have his verbal commitment, which is kind of funny because, you know, he's so young that the Iowa coaches actually can't even contact him yet. I don't think they can officially contact juniors until September 1. This is an extremely talented wrestler, a really, really nice piece that Iowa can build around for the future once the current crop of wrestlers, make their way through the system. So just kind of another starting point to reload, so to speak.
Yeah, Cody, is it comparable to the Spencer Lee commit, or is that taking it too far?
That might take it a little bit too far. Spencer Lee is he's a once-in-a-generation type wrestler, and Patrick Kennedy's very, very good, has the potential to be, a guy that goes and competes for these age level world teams and world medals. And, you know, obviously he's already got state titles and national All-American honors under his belt. I think he's still seeking, a national title and, freestyle wrestling and even folk style wrestling, but he's good. And the crazy thing about it is he's still young. So he's still got a lot of room to get better and a lot of room to improve before he even gets to Iowa City. So maybe not quite on Spencer Lee's level, but still very, very talented, a great get for Iowa.
I don't want to get too far ahead, Mark Ironside, our regular Tuesday guest in the fall, would concur. But is this a team that by the time Kennedy arrives, maybe, 2020 or 2021, maybe before that, I don't know, if Iowa can position itself to contend again for a national championship pretty soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think with some of the transfers that you alluded to that have come in, they've really kind of positioned themselves to be a team, kind of be a force to be reckoned with for the next couple of years. I know this season it was really kind of Penn State and Ohio State and everybody else was kind of chasing third, and Iowa had a really promising NCAA tournament to take third by a pretty comfortable margin. You know, now you're adding in a couple of guys in Austin DeSanto and Jason Renteria who, were right there in the thick of the All-American contender at 133 pounds, which was Iowa's only hole last year. You're going to add another talented body in Max Murin in the race at 141. You're going to add Jacob Warner at 197 pounds, who beat All-Americans last year as a redshirt. I think it remains to be seen, and they still need to go perform. But on paper, there's a lot to like about the Iowa wrestling team lineup, starting next year and even the year after that, because they're going to more or less fill some of their holes, and they're going to have a lot of talent on the lineup. And so, it's going to be interesting to see, whether they can compete with Penn State or not. You still got to kind of give them the nod as the front runner. I'm not even sure where, Penn State's going to fill some of their holes that they're losing guys from this past year's team, but they're bringing back a lot of talent, in four NCAA finalists, all of whom have won national titles at one point in their career. Can they compete with Penn State? I'm not exactly sure, but, at least not yet. But, on paper, there's a lot to like about Iowa's lineup the next couple of years.
Cody, you mentioned that 133 spot. Pretty much the only thing that Iowa really had to address in this offseason. They've now gotten their hands on DeSanto and Jason Renteria yesterday. How do you see that playing out now that they've actually got two pretty capable guys?
Well, yeah, they have two pretty capable guys who have 3 years of eligibility, and they each have their redshirt year, which is key. So I think it's conceivable that you could probably start one of them this year as a true sophomore and redshirt the other, and then flip-flop them next year maybe without either of them losing any sort of eligibility, a year of eligibility. They could take that, redshirt year to get stronger or to, adjust better to the Iowa room or however they, Coach Brand sees fit. Because, then in a couple of years, they have Pat Lugo, an Edinburgh transfer, who's, going to be the likely replacement for Brandon Sorensen at 149 pounds. He's got 2 years left. So if you're able to kind of balance these two guys at 133 for 2 years, then you have an open spot at 149 where you can either bring in another recruit, or some of these guys could spend a summer or two in the weight room and bulk up to 41, 49 and fill those holes rather easily. So they've got a lot of flexibility and they've got a lot of depth at a position where, they really didn't have a whole lot of both, at the end of March. And so it's kind of, amazing how a couple of months, scanning and mining the transfer market can do for a wrestling team.
You bring up red shirts and it gets me thinking. The NCAA just recently changed some rules that allows, at least in football, the guys can play four games and still retain their red shirt if the team so chose. That also applies to wrestling, but how is it in wrestling, and how is it playing among the wrestling community?
Well, I actually don't think it's applied to wrestling just yet. I think they only stuck it to football, and they're trying to figure out how to apply similar rules to other sports like wrestling. One idea that I heard float around was that they get, true freshmen or guys who, maybe taking their red shirts get to wrestle, I think, four duels or four conference duels without fully burning their red shirt opportunity. That way coaches can kind of see how they deal with certain situations. You could wrestle a couple at home, couple on the road. They'd get to wrestle guys who have already been through maybe a couple years of, Division I wrestling, and then, do you either shut them down or you keep them going? I've heard that that's one idea, but, as far as I know, and this could have changed within the last 30 minutes, I honestly haven't checked, but as far as I know, that rule, they only applied to football, but they were looking to find other ways to apply it to sports such as wrestling.
Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register joining us on the Gym Class just after the bottom of the hour. And Cody, I know you referred to a Flow Wrestling article about Matt McDonough, who's really beloved around these parts, a Linmar product and Iowa wrestler, and he's now at Wisconsin. Chris Bono's staff, John Reeder. That's a pretty formidable staff.
It's a really nice staff. Bono and Reeder have obviously proven their coaching chops at South Dakota State. They were able to coach the Jackrabbits to, I think, a top 15, top 12 finish, routinely had that team up and around the top 10 rankings. They coached South Dakota State's first ever national champ this past year in Seth Gross, who's a former Iowa wrestler. He won at 133 pounds. They've proven that they can do some pretty good things, and they were able to scale the coaching ladder pretty quickly to get up to Wisconsin, where they've got some nice pieces there. They were able to get a couple of kids to transfer over from South Dakota State. They brought in McDonough, who has obviously proven to be a pretty talented coach in his own right. He was working with the Eastern Iowa Wrestling Club and helping out with the Hawkeye Wrestling Club before he went up to Wisconsin. You're going to have a guy there who has been able to do it, on the mat and coaching wise with some of the lighter weights, because Bono and Reeder kind of take over the middle and heavier weights respectively. So that's a nice staff up there, and Wisconsin might be a pretty talented team here in the next couple of years.
I know you follow high school sports in Des Moines as well, and we don't get to talk much Central Iowa sports, but in baseball, Metro teams have occasionally seen some Des Moines area teams, Johnston, Urbandale, West Des Moines, Dowling, 1-2-3 in the baseball poll right now. Pretty strong baseball there, huh?
Lots of strong baseball. It's funny, you mentioned those top three teams. I'm pretty sure they've all beaten each other. I think Johnston swept Urbandale, Dowling swept Johnston, and I believe Urbandale just swept Dowling.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, or at least took one of two from them. So it's lots of good baseball here. It's kind of funny that Urbandale team was actually the same Urbandale team that went to the Little League World Series not too long ago.
Oh, is that right?
I want to say they had all but maybe one or two guys still playing together in that group. So that was, six, 7 years ago maybe. So they're a talented team. It's going to be fun here come when the postseason starts next month.
And you have Indianola, Southeast, Polk, among others, that vying for Valleys in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Lots of talented teams and really lots of talented athletes, too. I know Valley has a really strong pitcher. Indianola has a nice crop of athletes that have come through to kind of play along with some of their star baseball guys. It's been fun summer around here watching some of these baseball teams and these games unfold.
Well, I know the Prairie and Jefferson fans listening, maybe Lynn Moore and others, are going to be gunning for those teams. I know that.
Hey, the state tournament at Principal Park is always a fun week, so bring it on.
It is indeed.
Fun to watch.
Cody Goodwin from the Register, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to catching up with you again soon, Cody.
Sounds good. Call me anytime, guys.
Cody Goodwin joining us, talking about Iowa wrestling, a little high school baseball. And it is interesting because we never hear about, Central Iowa teams in baseball, and they are so very strong. Some of the Metro teams do play Central Iowa schools, but like other sports, Central Iowa very strong and going to be tough at the state tournament.
That's pretty cool about Urbandale. I totally forgot about that, and it's cool that they've made it up to high school and all those guys stayed together.
Yeah. Text line 319-366-1600-8532. We're talking about the Iowa recruit has already placed four times in the state championships in Minnesota, and he's got 2 years left, pointing out Mark Hall of Apple Valley and now of Penn State won six Minnesota state titles.
That,
can you imagine competing against high school kids as a seventh grader?
No, and if for and especially seniors, because I remember even when I was just a freshman in high school,
yeah.
I would look up at the seniors and think, you know, they're full-grown adults. And likewise, as a senior, I look at the freshmen and say, these kids are barely removed from elementary school. And then to have a seventh grader beating those seniors, I can't even wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, wrestling's such a different sport, though, because kids compete internationally at a very young age,
mm-hmm.
and if they really like it, they can do so much in the sport. Let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Joe Rivera of the Sporting News, all things baseball, here on the Gym Class.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because whether updating appliances in existing properties or building new construction, save with up to 35% off select appliance special values. Or save $228 on a four-piece suite of GE kitchen appliances chosen just for pros. Now for $1,378. So, pro, now that you know, let's get started. Offers valid through 6/19 on select items only. More exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
To give batters a different look, pitchers throw a changeup.
Your idea of a different look is sunglasses.
That's true.
But La Quinta Inns and Suites is really taking the different look thing to a new level.
Definitely a major league makeover, starting with a bolder, brighter lobby full of comfortable spaces to let you settle in.
Or chill out in front of a big flat screen like Wingo would.
Oh, you know it. It's a changing La Quinta look to help you get in the zone and look sharp when you hit that big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQU.com.
What's the worst? Running out of your vitamins and supplements because you forgot to reorder. Well, here's John. He's a GNC pro. He's going to explain why that won't happen to you anymore.
Busy people love our auto delivery because you save 10% and we automatically ship your next order right to your door for free. And you can pause or cancel anytime. With GNC free auto delivery, you never have to remember to reorder.
For auto delivery details, go to GNC.com or visit your local GNC store for details.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back to the Gym Class 339 on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope you enjoyed it or are enjoying it. Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register with some great stuff on Iowa wrestling, news of the day, and Iowa high school baseball. Right now we want to talk some more baseball, but at the major league level, Joe Rivera of the Sporting News, kind enough to join us today. Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Excellent, and thanks for hopping on with us. And we were talking earlier, game in progress right now, the Cubs and the Dodgers. The Cubs just seem, just the eyeball treatment, seem to be gaining their sea legs and maybe ready to separate a bit, at least from the Cardinals and Pirates. I'm not sure about Milwaukee, but your thoughts there?
You know, the Cubs were always an interesting team. I think I've said this on your show before, that it kind of always felt like they could out-talent guys. Obviously, we know how good their roster is. We know how good their lineup is. The pitching has come around, even with Yu Darvish out. But now, yeah, they had a really bad first half last year. I don't think they wanted to relive those memories of having another mediocre first half and really having to go gangbusters in the second half like last year. That just makes things so much harder for the team come October. But seeing them now, it certainly seems, even though Chadwick walks, you know, everybody on the planet and their mom, it certainly seems like they're coming around now.
Let's talk the trade that was, I guess, in the last 24 hours, Calvin Herrera going to the Nationals. What does that mean to you?
You know, I think it was a move that the Nationals had to make. Obviously, Atlanta's still in front of them, and Atlanta, they're tied with Atlanta right now, or at least Atlanta's in front of them in the division. So you look at their bullpen, it's been hurt. You had guys from the beginning of the year still out, Cota Glover, Joaquin Benoit, you know, different Brandon Kinsler. I mean, just completely demolished, and giving up three guys for a guy like Herrera, who's having a pretty good year. It's a move that they had to make. And then when you consider who knows what's going to happen with Bryce Harper at the end of the year, I don't think that they're done yet. I still think that they're going to make more moves, whether that's in the bullpen or in the rotation. I think that they're really going to go for it this year to make sure that they try and get a ring with Bryce before he potentially leaves at the end of the year.
While we're talking about the National League East, I look at the Braves and, you know, atop the division, I don't think anybody really saw that coming. A lot of young guys on that team. They're a talented group, but it just seems like they're overperforming a little bit now. But how long do we wait before we consider the Braves to be fairly legitimate?
You know, that's a really good question. And you look at their offense, there are guys there that are established. I mean, everybody knew that Dansby Swanson was going to hit. He's hit pretty well this year. I think they're still waiting. At least he got off to a really good start this year offensively. Freddie Freeman's a guy that just continues to fly under the radar. I don't understand why this guy isn't in talks for one of the best players in baseball. You just never hear his name mentioned. Nick Markakis is having a year for the ages. Who would have thought this would be coming? There are established guys in that lineup. Obviously, Acuna is the guy that was getting a lot of the hype before the year. So, and Ozzie Albies is putting together a really solid offensive year too, even though he's kind of tailed off a little bit in the last month or so. But this is a team that, while Acuna was getting a lot of the hype and while Albies had a breakout year, you kind of got to look at their lineup and say, well, you know what? There are guys that are established here and guys that are ready to take the next step. So I'm not sure how legitimate they are moving forward if they really are going to win that division. I'm not sure I see it happening, only because, like you said, nobody really saw this coming. But, I think that their lineup is, there's more to meets the eye there, and I think they are a force to be reckoned with. We'll see if they can keep it going through the end of the season.
I've got a very similar question for you in regards to the Seattle Mariners. I thought they would be a pretty good team. I had them in a wild card spot, but 20 games over 500 here on June 19th. You know, basically the same question. How long do we wait before we consider them contenders in the AL?
That's another good question, and it's interesting to think that this all happened after Cano was suspended, right? Who would have seen that this coming? They did a lot of they've done a lot of their damage since he was suspended. So, you know, I'm in that division's tough, at least with Houston, right? You don't know what the Angels are going to be, especially if Ohtani's out for an extended period of time, even though the Angels seem optimistic that he won't be. Houston's still the one to be worried about. I think that they're still going to win that division. But, yeah, I'm still not sure what Seattle is. Mitch Haniger's having a hell of a year. Offensively, he's already has a career high in home runs. And you're looking at Mike Zunino's head. You know, he's a catcher that hasn't quite come on yet. Ryan Healy, Cano's out. But, yeah, this is a team, again, I'm not really sure what they are long-term, especially in the rotation. James Paxton's a guy that's shouldered a lot of the load there. But you're looking at the rest of that rotation. Is anybody really believing in Mike Leake? Felix Hernandez is not the Felix Hernandez of old. Wade LeBlanc, while he's had a pretty solid season, he's had a pretty good year. I'm not sure anybody's really expecting this to go their way. So I'm not really buying into the Mariners, but they've far, far exceeded at least my expectations in that division and to this point.
Joe, my surprise team in the American League right now is the Detroit Tigers, and I'm a Twins fan. But I'm happy for Gardy. Gardy doing a nice job this half. Actually, if the Tigers win tonight, they're at 500. I don't think anyone is going to argue that the Tigers will challenge Cleveland for the division or even a postseason berth. But this is a nice, maybe a one-half story. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the Tigers, a lot of people expected the Tigers to be one of the worst teams in baseball, right? And for them to be hovering around 500, even with the Miguel Cabrera injury being out for the season. You look at all the trade rumors surrounding Michael Fulmer. Could he be on the move? Jamer Candelario is a guy that's broken through this year. So the Tigers are another one of those teams that up and down, you look at their lineup, and it's actually not all that bad. It's the rotation that you really got to question. Mike Fiers is in that rotation. I'm not sure anybody's buying him. Jordan Zimmermann has an ERA, I think, over 5. So there's a lot of pieces there where you say, oh, well, this is a team that could be better than we thought, I guess. You look at the lack of moves that they made, really, and all the talk surrounding potentially trading Michael Fulmer. You're right. This is a nice first half story. Ron Gardenhire has really done a great job there of kind of diverting the ship from sinking. And you're looking at them. Oh, well, now they're just treading water, at least for now. And not to mention the rest of that division is not that great. I mean, you're for a long time, Cleveland was either at 500 or under 500, but still at the top of the division. So they might be beneficiaries of a weak division there, but you know, you beat the teams that are in front of you, and right now the Tigers are a game under 500, and not many people saw that coming.
Is Houston clearly the best team in baseball?
Because of their rotation, yes. I mean, they're throwing a guy out there every night that, you know, the Cy Young potential almost to a point, right? Justin Verlander was a guy that a lot of people thought he didn't have a lot left. I wasn't necessarily in that camp. I thought Verlander was a guy that he's obviously a competitor. He loves the spotlight. He loves being the horse of a rotation. So the trade for him was going to do wonders, and that's exactly what it's done. I think until the Yankees, if the Yankees can figure out their rotation, and Houston obviously defending champs, and they're just blowing pretty much everybody out of the water. Their run differential's at, I want to say, 150 runs already at this point in the year, which is absurd. So their lineup is still good. They're still hungry. And, you know, there's some things that are just not quantifiable. This was a team that, with their attitude, with their grit, the guys that they have, the Brian McCanns of the world, I mentioned Justin Verlander, they add Garrett Cole, and he's had, you know, a remarkable season. You just get the feel that they weren't going to be satisfied with one World Series win. And now they're going to make it run at least another one and maybe two more. So, like I said, it's not quantifiable. You can't put a number on it, but sometimes you just get a feel about a team and you say, you know what, this team is a special team. And I think their attitude now, and then over 50 wins already in the division that, you know, they're challenging the Mariners right now. But yeah, I like Houston a lot. I still think that they're the best team in baseball. It's close though. The Yankees are right there with them. Boston's right there with them. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Coming into this season, I thought every division kind of had a clear-cut favorite, and, you know, the Dodgers started out really bad out of the gates, but then other than them, I think the most disappointing team by far has been the Cleveland Indians. You know, 38-33, barely above 500. What's the deal with them?
I don't really love their offense. You know, Jason Kipnis was a guy that was being shot before the season, and you see why. He's hitting around the Mendoza line, which is, you know, not what you want. He's hitting around 200 right now. You know, Francisco Lindor is a star. Jose Ramirez is a star, too. At least Ramirez is a very underrated player. But the rest of their offense, I was never really buying. They were shopping Encarnacion before the season, so they must have known, aside from money, they must have known something that we don't know. Their bench isn't all that deep. And then you look at their rotation, and you know, Kluber at the top, who's had another Kluber season. The guy's unreal, but everybody behind them is not as great as you'd hope. Carlos Carrasco hits the DL. So, yeah, again, Cleveland's a team that at some point the Magic's got to run out. I kind of felt that after they lost to the Yankees in the ALDS last year. At some point, the Magic can't keep it going. I think that's where Cleveland was at. A lot of guys aren't hitting right now. And I don't really see, they'll probably win the division. It'll probably be an 85 or to 88 win team winning that division. And I think they're going to do it, but they're just not an impressive team, at least not now. And I don't really see an extended run coming for them.
One last question for you here. We're just a little over a month away from the trade deadline. You look at some of the contenders who might be buyers. If you had to pick, you know, one or two teams, who really needs to make a move, and what would that move be?
I think you're looking at two teams, right? The Yankees really need another starter. It's not really a secret. Jordan Montgomery out for the year now with Tommy John surgery. So they're going to need a guy, and they're going to need a guy, if you're looking long-term here, to match up with Boston or to match up with Houston when you get to October. Masahiro Tanaka's been up and down, hasn't had a great year. Luis Severino's the ace of that staff. He's really emerged, but Sonny Gray has come around as of late. But you know, there's some question marks. CeCe Sabathia, you're not sure. Domingo Herman, you're not really trusting in a long series. And I understand you only need three guys in the playoffs, but if you're telling me based on what you're seeing from Tanaka right now that he's going to be your number two guy heading into the playoffs, I'm not sure I'm buying it. Even though he had great numbers in the playoffs last year. And the National League, I'm looking at the Brewers, and I understand that a lot of people expect the Cubs to kind of take over that division, but the Brewers make a lot of sense to me to go out and get a starter. They really need that guy at the top of the rotation, and there's been some talk with the Mets that they might be willing to part with Jacob deGrom, and I think the Brewers are a team that make a lot of sense, and this is just, you know, this is playing fantasy GM, but the Brewers have a deep farm system. They're in desperate need of an ace, and being that they challenged the Cubs last year and they were kind of smacked down the stretch by the Cubs and the moves that they made this offseason, I think that they're in good shape. They're in a good spot to really challenge for that division and make a run at it, but they're going to need that number one guy. And I think that if DeGrom is on the market and the Mets and the Brewers have talked on the phone before in the last year regarding Neil Walker, I think that's something that could happen again. It makes a lot of sense.
Joe, thanks a bunch. Great stuff as usual, and we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Gents, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You betcha. Joe Rivera, the Sporting News, bringing it on the Jim Class All Things Baseball. The Dodgers have taken a 4-3 lead over the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field. Bottom of the ninth inning, two out. Kenley Jansen on the hill right now trying to close it out for the Dodgers. Right now, as we near the end of the program, we want to give you a chance to win Cedar Rapids City Golf Department a prize pack. It includes a golf swag bag, including a towel, balls, a ball cleaning pouch, and a free round of golf at any of the four Cedar Rapids City golf courses. The sixth caller will win that prize. And go ahead and give us a call now, and we'll go to a break and come back and wrap it up.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
This is raindrops falling in the outfield of Target Field. That is Byron Buxton, ensuring nothing else does. As a shout out to our outfielders and their impossible catches, the first 10,000 fans on June 22nd will get a Nothing Falls But Raindrops Buxton bobblehead presented by Pentair. Collect the Rosario bobblehead later to complete the set. Don't miss a warning track leap, sliding snag, or the second bobblehead in the series. That's how we defend our outfield. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
It's Smart Rock Pyramid!
Uh-oh, the animals. Def Leppard. The birds. The eagle.
Artist you'd hear on Smart FM.
Sunshine. Sunshine Superman.
Weather,
Sunshine Superman.
Songs you hear on Smart FM.
Boston. Chicago.
Cities.
Boston, Chicago, Kansas.
Oh, more great bands you hear on Smart FM.
You're a winner! Smart Rock on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back. The last couple minutes of the Tuesday edition of the gym class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann. Along with you, Scott Unas, my regular host, a co-host, will be back in the seat tomorrow. Looking forward to his return. Kyle, who's the winner of our golf prize pack?
That would be Chris from North Liberty.
All right, Chris, enjoy it out there and enjoy a round at one of the four city golf courses. It's gone final at Wrigley Field. The Dodgers have taken the first of two from the Cubs, 4-3, two runs for the Dodgers in the top of the ninth inning. Cubs couldn't tie it up in the bottom half. They'll play another one. I think a 6 or 7 o'clock start for that second game. Twins baseball tonight on 107.3 FM at 7 o'clock following the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. Red Sox Twins, Sale versus Barrios. Terrific pitching matchup. Please tune in to that. Let me give you an update. Mentioned earlier, Sean McCarty vying for a spot in the PGA Championship in St. Louis in August. He is at the PGA Professionals Championship in Seaside, California. He started the day tied for 11th. He's through three holes in his third round. And right now, Sean, one under. He birdied the third hole. So he's currently tied for 7th. The low 70 players will advance to the final round tomorrow. And in that final round, the top 20 players will earn a spot in one of golf's major championships. Sean, of course, the head professional at Brown Deer in Coralville and a West Branch and University of Iowa product. So wish him the best of luck. So best of luck to the Colonels participating in the All-Star game tonight and the Home Run Derby, Alex Kirilloff in that. And Royce Lewis and Kirilloff in the starting lineup there. And we'll just have to see if that's the last we hear from Alex Kirilloff in these parts. Tomorrow, Chris Liss, rotowire.com, and he'll answer your fantasy questions. And Scott Unas has returned. Kyle, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, honey.
Hi.
Sitting in the garage again.